Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. I have been singing the hymn Amazing Grace ever since I was a child in the Catholic Church. And I've often wondered where it came from. And I imagine that it has been sung in places of worship around the world, bringing hope to people who felt downtrodden, broken. But I didn't know the true roots of the hymn until recently. I had imagined that it was an African-American spiritual from the feeling, the soul of the music. I figured that it had been co-opted at some point in history, but recently I realized that the words were actually written, surprisingly, by John Newton, an English clergyman, to go along with his sermon for New Year's Day in 1773. Newton had been ordained by the Church of England 9 years prior. It was his second career. But it isn't the story of the writing of the words of Amazing Grace that is so compelling. It is a story of the music, the author unknown, and the story of Newton's younger days. You see, John Newton was the most irreverent, disrespectful, and profane seafaring man that one could find. He told the worst kinds of jokes. He made fun of the captain of his ship. He was really rather obnoxious. He served without remorse on a slave trading vessel, and it's probably then that he heard the tune of an African spiritual that he would later be compelled to set the words Amazing Grace upon. The five-note pentatonic scale, called by many the black musical scale, is held within the black keys of the piano. This is the scale that Amazing Grace is written with. The admission of Newton's awakening held within the words of this hymn speak of his life, his realization, and his transformation. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. Grace, defined as a divine intervention where God reaches down and touches us, inspires us, transforms us in some way. Maybe in the same way that John Newton was transformed from slave trading sailor to reverend, was blind but now can see. I must admit that these sentiments and the music of Amazing Grace compel me towards divine understanding. I wonder, as a Unitarian Universalist, if there is a place for grace in our spiritual canon. I look back to our forebearer, specifically Ralph Waldo Emerson, one-time Unitarian minister who left the ministry because he felt a disconnect with the outdated and empty rituals of the church, specifically communion, and what he intuitively felt about nature-based spirituality. What might Emerson have thought about grace in its transcendental sense of definition? Emerson believed that all things are connected to God, and therefore all things are divine. Critics believe that Emerson was removing the central God figure. As Henry Ware Jr. said, Emerson was in danger of taking away the father of the universe and leaving but a company of children in an orphan asylum. I kind of like that imagery, and frankly, it does feel a bit like it more recently. Emerson's views, the basis of transcendentalism, suggest that God does not have to reveal the truth, but that the truth could be intuitively understood by any one of us. Experienced directly from nature. When asked about his religious belief, Emerson stated, "I'm more of a Quaker than anything else. I believe in the still, small voice, and that voice is Christ within us. Christ, as in our higher enlightened self. There's something incredibly important to understand between the grace given by God and our own divine connection and ability to intuit and cultivate and share grace with one another. Something in listening to that still small voice that prompts us on. I feel like we saw and experienced some grace in the world this week. When on Sunday evening at the Golden Globe Awards, Meryl Streep took the stage, faced her own fears, I'm sure, and her personal safety and her career, and professed her truth, a truth that resonated with her colleagues and the world. She explained, this instinct to humiliate when it's modeled by someone in the public platform, by someone powerful, it filters down into everybody's life because it's kind of gives permission for other people to do the same thing. Disrespect invites disrespect. Violence incites violence. And when the powerful use their position to bully others, we all lose. We have to remind each other of the privilege and the responsibility of the act of empathy. Another great graceful moment came 2 days later on Tuesday when Barack Obama took the stage in Chicago to share his last public address as president. In a time filled with uncertainty and fear, he asks us to hold fast to that faith written into our founding documents, that idea whispered by slaves and abolitionists, that spirit sung by immigrants and homesteaders and those who marched for justice, that creed reaffirmed by those who planted flags from foreign battlefields to the surface of the moon, a creed at the core of every American whose story is not yet written. Yes, we can. Yes, we did. Yes, we can. My friends, we stand, sit, or roll in a world that desperately needs to believe in grace. And not grace bestowed, handed down by God who sits on high, but instead a grace that is bestowed from one of us to another of us through compassion and empathy and forgiveness. A grace that compels each one of us to respectfully listen to another's story, understand another's burden, and then work to attempt to lighten their load. Our call is to empathize with one another, put aside our own personal agenda, and instead work to cultivate our collective agenda, our collective work, and ultimately care for all. Grace comes from within us and goes out into the world, spoken from the heart. You can feel the truth in such genuine professions when one can no longer hold back because the truth pushes against their teeth, demanding to be spoke. If we refuse to speak, to participate, if we keep quiet because of fear, refuse to step up and out, we all lose. Grace, in that still small voice within, pushes us forward, shows us the right way, even when we are continually tempted by personal gain, power, and profit to look the other way. Throughout history, grace has inspired prophets and sages, turn sinners into saints. I believe that grace is universal regardless of religious belief. It connects us. It circles around us, comes from within us. You know the telltale sign, right? We get goosebumps when we see, hear, or experience true, authentically, and grace at play. I will admit that sometimes the fates are at work to wake us up, to challenge us. Maybe it is that much needed bolt of lightning on the road to Damascus that Saul experienced that turned his life around from being persecutor of Christians to a believer in the importance of loving kindness and compassion beyond measure. Maybe that is the wake-up call that we are receiving lately about our nation, about our world in peril, from the environment to human rights. Maybe this is the galvanizing moment in history where we acknowledge our concerns, set aside our fears, and demand sanity and safety over profit. My friends, life is not easy. It is filled with heartache and disappointment and fear. Fear is a big one. But I believe we must face into that fear, and we must do so from a place of hope, inspired by our faith and that still small voice within, inspired to act from a place of love, inspired by that constant stream of universal grace that we live in. We will always face challenges. We may be mocked, too liberal, too whatever. We may be chastised or by misguided bullies with agendas that are inspired to harm instead of heal. My question to you this morning is, will we rise? Will we be inspired to act? Will we be the bestowers of grace in our world? I turned to Reinhold Niebuhr, who, imprisoned in a concentration camp, cried out against the Nazi agenda in Germany, bemoaning, "First they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out, because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out, because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out, because I was not a Jew. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." We could change those labels to Muslim, people of color, lesbian, gay, transgender, and women. But make no mistake, the message is the same. Unless you are a straight white male who doesn't question authority, which I know you all are not, let us be inspired to speak. Let us be inspired to act. Let us be inspired to listen to that small, still voice of amazing grace within that reminds us that we can be better. We can do better. We can expect and demand better from ourselves and from others. There is no other time like the present. Our time is now. Our time is now. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Let's take a moment in silent reflection and meditation. For this we pray, blessed be, amen.